And then there was a massacre in 1852, I believe, over at Freshwater area, which is between Eureka and Arcata on the old road. And I don't know how many people perished. Then there was another skirmish or so, another few people were murdered or killed. And then in 1860, there was the big massacre that most everyone remembers, and that's probably because the non-Indian people remember is because of Bret Hart. Bret Hart was living in Uniontown, which is Arcata now, and he was appalled, aghast, of what happened on February 26, 1860. People only remember the massacre on Indian Island, but people forget that there was a massacre at the mouth of the river within the same 24-hour period, and then the second one was down at Peatmont, which is here at the entrance of the bay, and then on into the island later that morning, or however it went around. But it was within, as I understand, it was within a 24-hour period. So it could have started the night before and ended on the island the morning of, you know. They do not know how many people were who died. They say between 80 to 100 people died on the island, but that's not including the people at Peatmont, not including the people down at the mouth of the river, and it's not including those who succumbed to their wounds who were taken home. Mm-hmm. They found a baby on the island. Well, first of all, they found an old woman who was kind of quagmired in the mud, trying to get away. And she was singing when they found her. This is what my grandmother told me. And she was singing a mourning song for all those who had perished. And they got her, they found a baby, only one infant, and they found two toddlers. I think they found two toddlers, or a toddler. For sure, a toddler and two young people left on the island that had survived. And the baby, the infant, was my great-grandfather. Wow. His two grandchildren passed away at 101 and the other one at 94. Mm-hmm. They had a very long life. And so they were my great-uncle and great-aunt. And right up to the end, you know, they were very bright. They were very cognizant of what was going on. He couldn't get around very well. He was just shy of his 101st birthday. And his sister would always remind me, well, you know, he was almost 101. Yes, Auntie. I got it.
And what was his name?
His name was Nelson Rossick. R-O-S-I-G-G-I. Rossick. I think that's how you spell it. And I always knew of these guys. I knew of Auntie Irene, but her name was Irene Carlson. Well, Irene Rossick at one time, but her married name is Carlson. And she, right up until she was 94, she would do 25 sit-ups each day. She was still... In her mid-80s, she was still driving to San Francisco to see her friend who had Alzheimer's, who no longer knew who she was. But she had that commitment to her dearest friend. Mm-hmm. And she went down there as often as she could. And she just drove herself. I mean, I would aspire to be those two individuals. Mm-hmm. They were very knowledgeable about where they lived. And so that was really great. So sitting with Grandma for 3 years, asking her numerous and abundance of questions, and asking about the language, asking about the land, asking about history, and it was really good. I enjoyed my time, though sometimes she'd get really cranky. I said, oh, I think I feel like her sometimes get really cranky. And so in 1860, we had the massacre. Captain Ulysses S. Grant was stationed here at Fort Humboldt, and he took care of, you know, trying, I guess, I don't know if he, under his guidance that they took the Indians in, he may have already been gone by that time, but he was here at one time. And they dug a corral into the ground and put posts around it, and it was mud. This is February. It's cold, rainy. This is winter here. And they, if you were wounded or something, that you would have died. Mm-hmm. There was no care for you. And so they decided after a fashion, I don't know how long, I don't know the whole story, Ray Raphael May or Jerry Rohde may have more in-depth details because they do research on this stuff. I only can give you what my grandmother told me because ours is word of mouth, not written down. Mm-hmm. So I take her word as scholar. Mm-hmm. She was my scholar. And they took us and they put us on the north spit, and then they took us and we went up, we had our Trail of Tears to Del Norte County near the Oregon border. That's mm-hmm. where they moved us. Mm-hmm. And we came home. And then they moved us out to Hoopa and we came home. And they moved us into Round Valley, Covelo, and we came home. So I bet you, in each place, we left some Wiyots behind. Mm-hmm. They think they're all that, but they got Wiyot too. And so they all came home, and after a while, they said, just leave those guys alone. So Daddy told me, and my mother told me, that a lot of Wiyots lived out in the willows, in the willow thickets and stuff, and that's where they lived and for a while. And Mama would say that when she was a girl, they would all go down to the willows and for fish and do all the gathering for that part, and then they would go and we would come home. But we weren't living in the redwood slab houses anymore. We were living in houses, stick frame houses like we do today. But it was really, really harsh. No, with reservation. Yes, I said. Yeah, I have my reserves on that, but I will say yes. You're welcome. No, just tell him that I have reservations, but I said I would say yes. I don't know what more to say. Okay. I just don't think it's a good idea, to tell you the truth, but that's just me.